Quintessential with your hosts John Coos and Scott Martinez.
Hey John, we're back. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm super okay. I've been watching the soccer game that started at 4 a.m. so I was not up at that hour, which I wasn't up at any hour near that hour. And so I was watching the replay, and they're winning. They're beating Arsenal.
Leicester. Oh, Leicester?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I'm only like 20 minutes into the game.
Yeah, I was watching Man City play, West Bromwich? Maybe? Yeah,
could be.
Maybe. They beat him. They're like, I think they've won 20 in a row.
Yeah, that's the thing. But Leicester's hanging in there. I'm excited for them. Let's keep that up.
You're excited for them?
Last year they fizzled at the end of the season, so they have to not do that this year. But they beat Liverpool a couple weeks ago and Aston Villa. And so those are teams that were like right behind them. So they're doing well.
What place are they in?
Third.
Well, then they'll make Champions League next year.
If they continue.
If they continue, yeah, yeah. But we're not here to talk about soccer.
No.
Apparently.
Never here to talk about soccer.
If we talked about soccer,
we'd have the California 80s, surf.
Yeah, that's true. But that was more the 70s, I think. I can't remember.
I don't think I ever went to a surf game. You did, though. I know you used to go all
the
time.
I went to seven of them. I went to seven because my dad was all into it for a little bit, for a half a second.
Well, your dad coached your soccer team, too, didn't he?
He did. He did coach the Musketeers. Is that what they were? The Musketeers. And he was also an assistant coach on the Cobras and the Force.
Right. That's a Star Wars reference?
Yes. Yes. I'll post a team photo for those who are interested later.
Well, I think that'll be a whole other story. I mean, our line.
Youth sport? You mean those, like youth
well,
sports?
Talk about, yeah. I mean, part yeah. of it's part of our childhood, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I already posted a Carl's Jr. Number that I saw in a parking lot 2 days ago and referenced it that you were at number 55.
Right. Wait, you
I
saw
don't know
that,
how I remembered that. It was actually it was in somebody's – it was 69, so I guess they were trying to be cute. But it was actually in someone's car like just 2 nights ago.
And that's the picture you took? You took a picture of it in there in a car?
I posted it on the Facebook page. You saw
it. I didn't know that was fun. Look at it was on a table or something. I didn't look at it that closely.
It was on a dashboard of a car.
I thought maybe you went to Carl's Jr. and you were hanging out at Carl's Jr. And
are they still doing that?
I don't know. Not right now. Everything's takeout.
Fair enough. Well, we're going to talk about
maybe you know what it is. Was it out of Carl's Jr. and now they just handed him like, go sit in your car with this number 69. We'll bring his food out to you. Put it on your dashboard.
And they look around. Oh, there it is. There's the one right there. And it's usually somebody that's blind or got issues or something.
Yeah, I think that's probably you were hardly Carl's Jr. didn't realize it.
Do you remember that there was a Carl's Jr. on Knott and Catella that had a blind cashier?
I don't. But I do remember this. And Dennis Kruppi commented on that about the Carl's Jr. fries. And that was one of your delicacies. It was Carl's Jr. fries. Those old pill fries.
Yeah.
Those were so – they were the best. But you used to have them for dinner. Like, I want a large fry for dinner.
I know. Well, I usually – you know, the funny thing about the Carl's Jr. fries is that the large wasn't that much bigger. So I always just got like two or three smalls as dinner.
Right. Is that cost effective or is that just food effective?
I don't know. It was a long time ago. But I actually, you know, maybe well, we were going to talk about computers. Maybe we should talk about fast food. But when I was in like second or third grade at Patton, which kind of was in walking distance of that Carl's Jr., we had a tour once. And saw how those French fries were made. Did you know that they were
like soy things?
They were little crystals, that they were like freeze dried little, and then when they dropped into some machine, they expanded. Did you know that?
I did know that. I think it's because you told me the story at a different time in your life.
Did I? Yeah. Okay. Well, that Carl's Jr. also had like a basement, which was weird. But that
was the bodies.
I think it's gone. Well, that's the one that's gone now. Then they built one like right next to it, right? Didn't used to be on the corner. It used to be like off the corner, I think, of Valley View and Chapman.
Was it all way up there? I thought it was
Valley View and Chapman, like by Alpha Beta.
Carl's Jr.?
Yeah, it's still there. People are going to trust me on this. You don't know. Where was it then?
Wasn't there a Carl's Jr. over by where the Vons is?
Now, you mean the Vons is now?
No, or not that.
Was
the Vons is now over by where Soup Plantation was on that corner? What's that? What is that? That's Lamps. Valley
View, that's Valley View.
View and Lamps. No, Valley View and Lamps. Oh, yeah, that is Lampson over there. is that Chapman?
Yes.
Okay, I guess you're right. I'm just. It's been a while.
That's true.
But, I mean, I was picturing. Further down, I don't know what I was picturing, but yeah, we're talking about the same place.
So are we going to talk about fast food or are we going to talk about computers?
We could talk about
Fast food and computers.
Yeah, they go hand in hand. I mean, we think we had a lot of fast food while we were on the computers.
That's probably true. That's true. Well, let's give a shot at the talk about computers then. So
we definitely did touch on it.
But you stopped us because you thought that the Apple II conversation would be too long.
Well, I mean, we have a lot of history with that stuff.
Oh yeah, we do. In fact, they formed a lot of lifelong friendships mostly you,
right?
In some weird way, how that played out.
Well, it's because we were cool nerds. No, because it was music and computers, which is a good combo. True. And so, you know, I really bonded with people music-wise.
That's true.
And computer-wise. Yeah.
That's true. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're always ahead of ourselves.
I know. But I guess how to start it, I mean, I think we touched on it last time. And you like to joke that I was spoiled.
Oh, wait. Is that a joke?
Why was I spoiled?
Oh, please. Dude, let me count the ways.
Well, is it being spoiled for your mom to buy you a computer? I mean, today, everybody has a computer.
Is it being spoiled for your mom to buy you more than one computer? But then you get a modem, and 2 days later decide you want a new modem, so you get a new modem. Or somebody would buy you a car and you don't like it, so they would buy you a new car.
You mean my mom?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, fair enough. Well, to put things in perspective, because we talked about yesterday.
Wait, there's more. What about somebody who's like, I'm going to go dinner and walks over to your mom's purse and just takes money out of it and puts it back down and leaves. It doesn't ask and say, I'm going to take $10 to go to Carl Jr. It's like, I'm going to get $10. Bye. And just walked to you and grabbed the money and left.
What's better than stealing from my sister like you were, apparently.
Yeah, well,
the change drawer.
I suppose.
Well, I don't know. I don't know either. I mean, it was worse than that. I would take her credit card later on and go to that clothing store, Public Image, and buy like $200 worth of like Genera shirts.
Nice.
Does that ring? Anyway, but yeah. Well, fine. So, with respect to the being spoiled, I guess. So, in what 83 or something, my mom bought me an Apple IIe computer, and you know how much that thing cost in 1983 dollars?
No, a lot.
$1,500. Nice. You know what? $1,500 in 1983 dollars is in today's dollars.
$6,000?
It's about, I looked it up yesterday. It's like
$4,000. Hey,
so that was, I guess, a big purchase on her part. because she didn't have a job or anything. But yeah, I got the computer and it was a Apple IIe and it had one disk drive.
That was the first one you had then, right? You didn't have a two.
I never had a two plus.
Two plus.
I was exposed to it in school, I guess. With Castle Wolfenstein and all that, but like, and then I also had a monochrome monitor, you know, like black and green,
right?
And 64K of RAM.
Nice.
64K of RAM. So yeah. Now, so yeah.
When did the modem portions come out? As far as that goes, I mean, were they already? I guess it was already available to a certain degree to be able to call other BBSs, bulletin board systems, right, and whatnot.
They were already out, but I didn't get one right away. Right. I initially would get games from Darren, who got them from somebody at Pacifica or something. And then I kind of, I don't know if it was War Games or what, but I was like, I got to get a modem. So I went to, I think it was the Garden of Eden, because all these Apple resellers and stuff had names that are like Apple related, you know, like Garden of Eden. And there, I think it was over by like Miles Square Park. I think it was like on like Brookhurst and something, Slater or something like that. And I got this Hayes smart modem, 300 baud Hayes smart modem.
Yeah, I remember 300 baud.
300 baud. And I think you were there. I'm like, that's the one I want. That one right there. Let's go. And then, so we go.
Speaking of spoiled, you just walked in the store. It's like that one. And then you just like walked away. And like, you deal with it. You go buy it for me. That's the one I want.
That's probably how it played out. Yeah. It was probably just like, actually, I think I remember walking away. Just going, and she paid for it. And I don't even know how much it cost. It was probably in the 100 and something, maybe. I'd have to look it up. I mean, I'm sure I could look it up, but it might have been 150 or something. But the problem was, so if anybody
the problem was the AppleCat existed.
Yeah, the AppleCat, but I didn't know about it until I started getting involved in on BB like bulletin board systems. But it was actually David Rowan. Remember that guy?
Yeah, we're Facebook friends.
Oh, cool. Well, David Rowan had since already moved to like Huntington Harbor, but because of I don't know how he learned that I had gotten a modem. And you remember he had this like sinister little laugh. Like he'd go, you got the wrong one. You got the wrong one. He was like pointing at like laughing at me. And I'm like, but apparently he had also gotten the wrong one before too. And that guy was actually pretty spoiled. That guy had everything. But what he meant that I had the wrong one was that there was this Apple, there was this this modem by Novation called an AppleCat, which instead of it was a 300 baud modem, just like the Hayes smart modem, but it ran at like 1200 baud half duplex or something like that. And there was programs that were created for it that made it easy to transfer files. Well, easy, you know, 2 hours for like 300K or something like that. But so anyway, I realized I had the wrong modem. So what was I supposed to do? Do you remember what occurred?
You just said you got another modem.
No, well,
you had to sell the other modem, I think.
Yeah, my mom drew the line, kinda. She said, "I'm not going to just go buy you another modem." So I had to sell that modem, and I put it on consignment at a computer store on Beach Boulevard, kind of near Heil, and it sold. But I only got like 50% of the whatever, the 75% of the sales price. And then I put my. And then I went and got the Novation modem from someplace in Los Alamitos or something. But then that changed everything, because then all of a sudden you're in this Apple Novation sort of. Anyway, everybody had that. That was the standard, right?
Now, yes, but now let's take a step back for a second and sort of explain the world that we lived in as far as computers go was BBSs. There was BBSs, bulletin board mm-hmm. systems, that were other computers that you would call that mm-hmm. if someone else was on it, it was busy. You had a busy signal. It was like
correct
one person at a time.
Correct.
At that time, especially. Later on, you were able to do multiple people, I think. We had the – what was that thing where you could have 16 people talking or whatever? That was
– chat line.
Yeah, or, I mean, that was pretty amazing.
Or Network 23. That Network 23. That was later.
We're still getting ahead of ourselves. So yeah. you could only – these bulletin board systems were, you mm-hmm. know, pretty much text-based
mm-hmm.
things.
All text.
Where you would go and you'd be able to chat with the SysOp, who was the head of the bulletin board system. But right. also you could download games. They would put games on their systems that were cracked, which right. means that they were a pirate, somebody who considered themselves a pirate, had broken the copyright sort of for those games. Correct. And so they were able to put them up for people to download for free.
Correct. That's all true. And so the bulletin board systems actually, I mean, everyone has to remember, especially our younger listeners, that this is all pre-internet. So like you had to, like you said, you had to call another modem, basically. You're calling somebody's computer with a dedicated line that would answer automatically. And then like you could be in their bulletin board. And it actually had a semblance of email too. Like you could like send a message back and forth, like short messages, but right. you know, you couldn't get it until you like logged in. Like you might have a few messages or whatever. And then somebody might have a 10 or 20 megabyte hard drive, and you know, 10 megabyte, you know, hard drive is like nothing. I mean, I think if you did like a video of yourself for like 30 seconds, it would probably be like 10 megabytes. Like that's how small that is actually today. But Yeah. And so so everybody, all these pirates had handles, right? And right. so there's an origin of my handle. Do you remember how that played out? Let me see if you can remember how I got my name.
I don't remember how you got your name, but I know it's Underdog.
It was Underdog, but you so around that time, we used to go boogie boarding a lot or whatever. With wetsuits and stuff. You remember that? Like to Huntington yeah. or wherever. And the first time I got on a BBS to like ask me for my username or when I it was, I didn't know what to put. And so I put like the undertow because we were all into the beach. And then you like logged on to like a BBS and you like called yourself Diamond Dog.
Right. Which is David Bowie reference.
Right. David Bowie reference. And so then there was this one site called Dune that was run by this guy named Ralph. And I can't remember his last name, but he and his brother were pretty big in 714 pirate circles back then. And he ran this BBS called Dune, named after the book and movie or whatever. And he charged like $5 or $10. And I cobbled it or I think I got $5 from you and I got $5 and I mailed it to him. And you're like, well, it's not fair if you like log in with your name because I paid for half of this or something. So I changed the name to from Diamond Dog and Undertow to Underdog.
And well, said, I saved you apparently because Undertow is a terrible name.
It is a terrible name. The Undertow.
Something yeah. like Campbell Toe or something. It's not really a great name to have.
Yeah, but like,
I guess it's a water reference. You're a pirate. You.
The undertow, yeah, the doldrums, like
but yeah, it's a terrible name.
It's a terrible name, but kids are clever, and later on people would tease me about the Underdog and say like, what's under the dog? A dick. And I'm like, oh, that's clever, har.
Yeah, anyway.
But anyway, that so that whole thing kind of opened up this world. And so back then, that, you know, like I mentioned in a previous episode, you know, unless you went to like a Catholic high school or something, your world tended to be like where you lived. Like, so ours was Pacifica, West Garden Grove or whatever. And we really didn't have a lot of friends outside of it because, you know, Little League was in Garden Grove and soccer was in Garden Grove, all that stuff. So, I mean, I really kind of think that because of the computer, it kind of, we started meeting people outside of it because, you know, you log onto these places and you'd find like a guy named the Swindler or whatever. And then all of a sudden you'd end up talking to them on the phone. Right.
Right. Well, I mean, we had common interests, right?
Common interest, right. And
but, I mean, it wasn't just even our area. It was everywhere. I mean, we would be calling New York and whatever because we'd get the Sprint codes, which was in itself
illegal.
A fun thing. Well, it was illegal. But, yeah, I mean, we would have a program on your computer that would mm-hmm. just call Sprint all night long and mm-hmm. type in codes. Mm-hmm. And if it worked, it would keep it and whatever. But then the next day, we'd have like 10 Sprint codes to use to call wherever we wanted to call. And right. some of the BBSs were in other states. And sometimes you would go to Wisconsin, and yeah. I would call yeah. you using the Sprint codes. But I got caught at home,
by
and
who?
I got in trouble. I think my mom or dad somehow caught me calling long distance and asking me about it, and I said, what happened? And they're like, no, you're not doing that anymore. So I'd have to walk all the way down to the liquor store down
get on a pay Manly phone.
And go on a payphone to call you.
I forgot about that, but I remember it now. But yeah, you're right. And the reason why, and another thing for kids or anybody who just has, you know, amnesia, back then calling long distance was super expensive. And it's even to call from like Garden Grove to like Mission Viejo was like a toll call back then. Like, you know, they had these zones. And so you're right. I mean, I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. But some kid or somebody wrote a really short software program in BASIC, which is a computer language, right, that would dial these long distance service providers like Sprint or MCI. I think the other one was Western Union. And you would dial – if you were the regular subscriber, you would like – have an 800 number, you call, you type in your code, and then you type in the phone number, and it was like a lower rate than just using AT&T like direct. So you're right. So you set this thing up, it would auto dial all night long and do random codes. And then if it was wrong, it would just hang up and call right back. And in the morning, you'd have like 10 codes. Right. And you usually could like use them for like a month until they went bad, which probably meant some poor sucker got their phone bill and goes, I didn't call Minneapolis 20 times last month or whatever. And because all the cool bulletin board systems were actually not even in 714. Like later on, two guys that we knew personally, well, one first, Gary from your class, he had a bulletin board system. And I can't remember what it was called, but he had a 10 megabyte hard drive. And then later on, the Captain Sensible.
Right.
Does he listen to this? Do you have any idea?
He knows of his existence. I don't know that he's actually taken the time.
But he might have had a 30 or 40 megabyte hard drive.
But it wasn't. It was somebody else set it up for him. Like what do you some mean? Old. It was some older dude who wanted to be a pirate so badly, but didn't know how to do anything.
Really?
Gave him the equipment to do it.
Really?
So that he could be part of the whole thing. I believe that's
correct. I don't even know. I don't know if I ever met that mysterious.
No, I don't think we ever met this person, but I think it all even took place at this guy's house. Like all the equipment was there.
No, Mike, I think it was at Mike's bedroom.
No, I don't think so.
The Bombay wasn't in Mike's bedroom?
I don't think so. I think it
maybe
was.
Maybe you're right.
He just ran it because this other guy wanted to be a pirate so badly, but didn't know how to do anything.
Huh. So, maybe you're right.
I believe that's the case. I'd have to talk to
Mike about it.
About it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I mean, it opened up to so we were on the phone. Like probably, I mean, kids are on the phone now. I mean, well, it's different now with TikTok or whatever else. But you know, I don't know. I don't know if a lot of girls in the 70s and 80s might have been a lot like on the phone with each other all night. I don't know. But we just got on the phone a lot. And it started like morphing into a lot of crank calling and weird stuff. And then this one computer program I had, which I think it was called SAM, Simulated Audio something. you could type into the, and it would have a computer generated voice. And I remember one time calling some lady and going, and then typing in like, I have no voice. I cannot speak to you. I'm lonely. And then they would talk like, oh, I'm so sorry. What? It was like brand new to people. Like that.
Oh, well, definitely.
That kind of crazy crank calling.
Well, three-way calling was new to people, where we would call somebody and then three-way call someone else and just listen to, like, I didn't call you, but my phone rang. That was
your mom. Well, your mom. We did it to your mom and Mary.
We did it to my mom and Mary and other people, but they had no idea, like, you could actually do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't even think you could do it now, because back then, on a regular phone, you could have do three-way call now, but on a regular phone, back then, you would dial a number, and then you would hit the receiver real quick. It would go, da-da-da-da. You dial the other number real quick and hit the receiver again, da-da-da-da, and it would bring it back. So if you did it right fast enough, both phones would be ringing.
Right.
And that was the time when not only did your mom and Mary go, oh, I didn't call you. You called me. No, I didn't call you. And then, like, all of a sudden,
conversation.
Oh, well. We're here talking. And I'm like, oh, crap. now you either got to hang up on them or just like put the phone down and let them talk for half an hour or something like that. But yeah, that was fun. And there we would do stupid things, crank call people. I'd crank call teachers at Pacifica High School. I got stories about that. One time I called this with a long distance code, of course. I once tracked down, did you ever have Carl Bertain as a biology teacher?
I remember him. I don't remember if I had him or not.
He was kind of youngish, like,
yeah,
like maybe like 28 at the time or something. And one time I tracked down where his mom lived in Wisconsin, and I called her and I pretended to be one of his college buddies. And then I go, oh yeah, she's like, is Carl there? And she's like, no, Carl lives in California now. I'm like, oh. Who's this? She's like, oh, I went to college with him at Madison. And then she goes, he didn't go to Madison. He went to Eau Claire. And I go, oh, that's right. I was talking about my master's program. And then she's like, oh, okay, well, he's got two kids. And then, but the funny part was, it's like, now what do I do? Like, now I'm talking to this really nice lady, and I probably just got off the phone. But when you're 16, I mean, there wasn't a lot to do. So we had a lot of fun stuff with that. Remember that? Yeah. There was a car rally once. Do you remember that?
Well, there used to be as far as the computer nerds.
Yeah.
Well, there used to be the, it used to be a scavenger hunt thing, wasn't there? Like the pig sty
scavenger hunt thing. I mean, the only one I got involved in, I mean, maybe the pig sty, which was a BBS, was involved, but the gunslinger who ran the Adventurer's Tavern, who I think was this really rich Newport Beach, Newport Harbor High School kid, did this one where we all met at Fashion Island, and we had to go around like Newport and like say, like, it would say like, what's the time on the clock at the crab cooker? And you went over there and realized it was like a broken clock. It was like 2:15. You had to write it down, and then you'd go get the next clue or whatever, and then I don't even remember how that whole thing played out, but it was one of those things where, like, oh, that's what the gunslinger looks like. Because you'd hear these names and you wouldn't know what they looked like, you know, like these people. And I mean, you remember all that time we spent going to East Garden Grove and hanging out with the Red Baron?
Yes.
Like you're like blocking it out, right?
Right. Well, wait, what was the – and there's someone cat.
There was a Green Hornet and Crazy Cat were brothers.
Crazy Cat, yeah.
And those guys lived – they all went to Garden Grove High, I think. And they were weird. Like,
well, what was that? The one guy who freaked out on you.
Oh God! Yeah, that was his. I think his name was Paul
Hatsuki Kang or something like that.
His handle was Hatsuki Kang.
Right.
And one time we went over to his house, and he lived. I think he went to Garden Grove High too. I think he lived off of like Brookhurst and Chapman or something like that. And we were in his room, and I think I think he had an Apple IIc, which was smaller. And I remember we were in his room, and I think he lived with his grandmother, right? Does that ring a bell?
Something like that, yeah.
And she couldn't speak English,
We had to take our shoes off when we went in. This is key to the story.
We had to take our shoes off going in the house.
My leather shoe, like, I can't remember those.
Topsiders.
Topsiders, yes.
My pair which you never which you never tied.
My leather topsiders that were I loved, and we had to take them off and leave them on the porch. So we went inside to his room, and what happened?
I think he was under the impression that I stole something from him, which I didn't.
Yeah, you wanted to steal something from him or something. He offered you something, and then all of a sudden turned it around and said you were trying to steal it. Something to that effect.
Was it a mouse, like, or something weird like that? Not a mouse, like an animal, but a mouse for a computer. But anyway, he freaked out.
He got enraged.
He enraged. He was screaming at it, and I did he grab me and try to like body slam me or something?
Something. He really freaked out.
And you were like, "Let him go," and I'm like, "Let's just get out of here." And then
he ran to the car, and I left my shoes on the porch because we had to get out of there so fast.
Maybe it was one. You got one of them or something. But what could you do with one shoe?
It was bad.
Yeah, that was very sad. It was sad. But back, the funny thing about the whole thing. I mean, and then we met Mike Goodicke. I don't think I was driving yet. Maybe my mom dropped me off there or something. And he was a couple years older. He went to Edison. And he had kind of like almost like wrote a game, but it was from this movie maker software that he manipulated to almost make like an adventure game out of it. But I can't remember the name. And if he ever listens to this, he'll probably kill me for not remembering the game. But so there was him, and then there was those guys in Garden Grove, and there was like Mike Brunsman. I'm sorry, last name, whatever. Captain Sensible. So all these different people, and then a few of them like kind of became like like actual friends, so it kind of like, I ended up living with one of Mike's best friends, Brian, and then you're still friends with Brian, right?
I'm still friends with everybody.
All those guys. Yeah. Well, you're not enemies with him.
No, I didn't say that. I just don't talk to him. I don't have a reason to not talk to him. We just sort of faded out.
Yeah, sure.
Well, there's sort of a reason for it. But, yeah.
Well, there always is. But when you look back on life, you're like, whatever.
Right. I mean, I don't harbor any ill will.
Well, that's good.
And if you called me right now, I'd say, hey, dude, what's up?
Well, here's something. Well, it's funny, actually. I was in recent contact with him only because – well, we've chatted a few times over the years, like on text, and we actually, Monica and I went to have lunch with him and his wife like 10 years ago in Santa Monica. But I was coming back from Newport Beach a couple weekends ago, and off the 55, there was a building that had a giant sign outside that said Fuzul.com, Fuzul, and that was his handle,
right?
The Fuzul. So I took a picture of it and sent it to him and said, is this you? Because I knew he was entrepreneurial and whatnot. And he's like, no, it's clearly someone stole my name. Cause who would come up with Fuzul anyway? But yeah. Well, and then, you got all these like different kind of connections. I mean,
but it's funny. We became friends. I became friends with those people. It was all music based. We all had, we're really huge music nerds as well as computer nerds. And we go shopping all the time and talk about music and going to concerts.
That's true. In fact,
and clubs. Going to clubs eventually.
Mike B was a big, almost like had the exact same musical tastes like we did. Like he was all into Depeche Mode and all into Erasure and all into that stuff. I mean, so if it wasn't for that, we might not have connected at all, right? It might have been just any other guy, like in the computer world. Like there was like those Garden Grove guys. I didn't become friends with those guys. Those guys were kind of weird.
They were real dorks. We were just cool dorks.
Yeah, They weren't just dorks. They were kind of mean-spirited, some of those crazy cat Green Hornet guys. Those guys were kind of weird. Like, I didn't really dig them. Anyway, whatever.
Right.
But
well, they were nice enough people. I mean, I don't remember. Except for Hatsuki King. He was kind of crazy.
Yeah, Hatsuki King was rough. Was rough. Well, I shouldn't say that they were... We just didn't have the same. I think they were kind of, well, we talked about it in the music episode. They were kind of in heavy metalers. So there wasn't that connection on music, you know, right. And you know, you most people back then weren't both.
Right. Well, right? I do remember the one guy, is it Red Baron the chunkier guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he did like The Cure. I remember he liked The Cure. He did used he? To love. Yeah.
He had a Roadrunner.
Close to me. The song Close to Me. I remember him loving the song Close to Me.
He had a huge muscle car called a Roadrunner. I think is that a Chrysler or a Plymouth, but I remember that. But yeah, we would end up driving to these people's houses. We didn't even know them. Like, and my mom probably like, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to go over to the Swindler's house. Oh, have fun. Like, who's that? You know? And the funny thing about the Swindler is like, I remember, you know, you'd talk to these people on the phone for a while, maybe months, and then he has a deep voice. And then I go to his house, he's like this little teeny tiny kid. Like, you know, you're like, you have this image of somebody, and you're like, oh, okay, that's how you look. I've had this other idea how you look. But and the other guy was that we connected on musically, do you remember Brian Hazard, the Klepto?
Yeah.
And he still has this music thing called Color Theory. Have you ever heard of it?
I think you've mentioned it before. Or something, like, yeah.
He was all into Depeche Mode, and he lived in, I think, Fountain Valley, and he was super cool. But we just lost touch. Maybe it's because I had a crush on his sister. I think I had a crush on a couple of these guys' sisters because it was just like, you know. In fact, I think I had a crush on Mike G's sister too. and but anyway, so back to the computer thing. Yes, but the computer thing, I mean, was super important in a certain period of life. But the funny thing is, so the Apple II, so you know, back then you either had, because like a like an Apple II, an Apple or a Commodore or an Atari or an IBM compatible, or like an Amiga, because they wouldn't communicate. You couldn't communicate with a different kind of computer. So you kind of were stuck in your computer's model world, right? Does that make sense?
Right.
And so the Apple, I think the Apple people kind of were smug, like compared, like about having Apples back then. And this is like pre Macintosh, of course. And for a good five or six, seven years, maybe like between like 79 and like 85, the Apple world kind of held tight. But then it just started fraying at the edges. Like the Mac came out, and then Apple came out with this Apple IIgs, which I got.
Right.
Right. Which was $2,500. But that was a huge mistake, actually. You know that, because the Mac had come out. I shouldn't have got it when the salesman at the computer store said, oh, you're going to get an Apple IIgs. But, you know, maybe you'll graduate to Macintosh someday. And I was like, well, what's wrong with the Apple IIgs? Oh, no, it's great. It's a great computer. But then Apple stopped supporting it like immediately. I don't know if you remember that. They just stopped. They did, like, they totally got away from the Apple IIgs, and it was. I mean,
if you saw the movie, there was a whole thing like when the Mac was made that Steve Jobs didn't even want anything to do with, like, the 2E and whatnot. Right.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean,
yeah, Christian Wozniak, because it was his baby. It wasn't
Steve Wozniak. Jobs.
Steve Wozniak, yeah.
I think Chris Wozniak went to high school with us.
I think so, too.
But yeah. But do you remember why I got rid of my Apple IIe?
No.
So about, I think I was 16 and a half or 17, maybe 16 and a half, over near Westgrove Park. I think I was going to this guy Bryant Bustamante's house. Does that guy ring a bell to you?
The name does, yeah. I mean, I could picture what he looked like.
He was voted best dressed in class of '88, so that's all I remember. But no, but anyway, I was going to his house, and I made this weird turn, and I crashed into a curb and bent my frame on my car. And my mother's like, I'm not fixing that. And the only way I could fix it was to sell my computer. And I sold it. And then, like, you know, 4 months later, she bought me another computer. She would have been cheaper for her if she just fixed it, you know? So, right. But, it was a crazy time. I remember getting into battles with guys at school about which computer was better and stuff, but they couldn't win because they had like Commodores and stuff. Anyway, so you look like you're taking a phone call.
Well, I am trying to hear. Here we go. Mike, you're outside. Mike, I don't know if we can hear you on the microphone. Can you hear him, John? Mike.
Yeah.
We had a question with your BBS you had. It was some other, the Bombay. Someone else.
2400 baud. It was like hardcore. Most people only had 1200.
Where was it stationed? It was at some guy's house or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, some Asian guy's house that I befriended online. Thinking back, scary, you know. It could have been a pedophile or something. He just turned out to be a nice guy, and I knew how to work computers better than he did, and he had money, and the wife had money, and so he had all this computer equipment, and I set up the Bombay, which became an elite BBS, and hosted the most hard to get wares back in the day. And yeah,
it's all true. But yeah, hey, I can hear him. Right, but he can't hear you because I have my earpods on.
Well, ask him if
John has a question for you.
John doesn't hear me anyway, so you're my John
Coos
conduit anyway. So,
well, listen, ask him how many megabytes his hard drive was.
How many megabytes was your hard drive on the Bombay?
I have to think about it, but that's like back in the days when like a 20 megabyte hard drive cost $3,000. So I don't remember. I have to think about much. It.
No, it didn't cost that much.
Too, like on the wares boards, like each volume would only hold about like 10 megabytes or something, and it was divided into like different sections, and you used to have to go to like different volumes if you wanted to download Droll or I don't know what are John's favorite games from the past, Karateka. So different, you know, than it is now. Blows my mind. I'm talking to you on a iPhone computer at the winery here with my sister standing in line for lobster rolls.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, we'll let you go. I just wanted to clarify that.
I don't like lobster rolls. Okay.
All right.
Well, hey, ask him if he'll be an official guest in a future episode.
John wants to know if you'll be an official guest in a future episode one day. You're on our podcast, by the way.
Yeah, I figured. I know you're tricky, dude. I'll
consider it. All right, cool. All right, enjoy your lobster rolls.
Have a great day.
All right, bye.
That's funny. I was thinking, yeah, we should start incorporating some guests because they'll add things that we forgot because of things, just anything, you know. Right. Like the special guest star Sasquatch, maybe.
Yeah, then you scare people.
He is quite scary, but yeah. So things just kind of fizzled out towards the end there in the 80s because everybody started getting Macs or whatever.
But even so,
the cool part the friendships that were developed were kind of cool.
Right. But we were still on the forefront of a lot of stuff that became normal.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, that Network 23 thing where this chat line where we could have, you know, chat with, I don't know, I guess 23 people at the same time. But we end up getting ourselves kicked off a lot of times, just messing with people that were just too boring.
Yeah, there was. So I think this guy ran this thing out of, I think it was in Fountain Valley, and I think he had to have like two or three computers, and they didn't have to be Apples. Like, I think he had an IBM PC or something, where like he had to have a phone line for each modem. And so he had a computer that had like seven modems connected to it. And then you would dial this number with your computer and it would route it to the empty modem. And so there were like 20 people chatting. Like now it's like big deal. Like we can chat all that. Right. But back then it was super cool. And at one point, I don't know if you went with me, they had like a Network 23 gathering at like,
the bowling alley or something?
The bowling alley by Miles Square Park, kind of. Do you remember going? And we're all kind of standing around looking. You remember that?
I recall there being some bowling thing, but I don't know if I went or not. I'm sure I did. Why wouldn't I have gone?
Well, by that time, I think I had teased enough of them to where some of them didn't like me because I was, sarcastic. Right, well,
we did mess with people sometimes too. We did like come up with their own names on there and just start messing with people until you got kicked off.
Yeah, that was probably the best part.
But yeah,
it was definitely like a quote unquote community for a little while, and I had to pay for it. Like the guy didn't do it just for like his kicks. It was like a money making venture. He was getting people to pay like $15 a month, which is a lot of money, back then,
Right.
But that was, Network 23. I mean, I think that was from Max Headroom, the name. I don't remember that movie, Max Headroom.
I do.
It was a TV show. Wasn't it a TV show? Yeah,
it was a commercial first. I think it was like a Coke or Pepsi commercial or something first, and then it became a TV show. Kind of like the caveman from the insurance. That ended up being a TV show, too. But, yeah, I think it was a commercial first. And then everyone loved Max Headroom so much that they made a TV show out of it.
Let me tell you a funny story about Mike Brunsman. I left his house one night, and I went – my car, like, broke down. That wasn't it. Was that it? But anyway, through Mike, I met Rachel.
Right.
And then I was at her house one night and her mom was very strict and I wasn't supposed to be there. And I crawled through a window or something. And then I went to my car and I couldn't turn it on. And it was like dead. And I was like, damn, crap, what am I going to do? I can't like go knock on her door because her mom would have killed me. It was like midnight or something. And so I think I started walking toward Mike's house, which was like a half a mile away or whatever it was, a quarter mile away. And then this guy, Greg something, I found out his name was Greg later, but he was like, what are you doing in this neighborhood? You don't belong here. And he was with a friend of his. And I was just like, I just started like spinning whatever. And I mentioned my friend Mike Brunsman. Mike, and all of a sudden we got to talking, and his name, he was a computer guy named IO Error, and so I ended up going to his house and calling from his garage Mike, and he picked me up and took me home. But I mean, what are the odds of running into another computer dork that knew who the underdog was? It saved my life.
There you go. It sounded like you were in the middle of a greaser social sort of situation where like, what are you doing on our side of town?
pretty much. But yeah, I mean, so anyway. And then later on, it was funny because some of these pirates like were legendary. And I remember, like you said at the beginning that these games would get their copyright protection, and all the people who cracked the copyright protection would, brag about it by putting a home screen on that said like cracked by the jerk or the whatever. Right. Well, the Gonif wrote one of the file transfer softwares for the Apple Cat modem It was called Catsend. Remember that name, Catsend? And that's where he also cracked games. It was like the Goniff and the Wombat. And later on, because Mike G became friends with them, I think because of Disneyland. I think Mike G worked with the Wombat in Tomorrowland attractions or something like that. And then later on, when I ended up living in Irvine, we started hanging out with the Goniff all the time. And I was, he's a super nice guy, but I was like, if you build somebody up in your head for a couple of years as like this titan of computers, he was just a regular dude, you know. He's right. Been super. I think he's still in computers today. Have you ever talked to him?
Mike still talks to him. I think Mike does.
Mike B or B. G?
Yeah.
Mike B. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they knew each other.
I don't talk to G much anymore, so I don't. No,
I didn't know that. That's cool.
We could have asked him when he was on the phone just a minute ago if we would have thought about it.
Well, he's probably eating lobster rolls by now. Yes. But that
sounds good.
Yeah, so if you just draw the line, it's just funny that I had two girlfriends that came out of knowing Mike Brunsman, and then you became lifelong friends with him and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he still randomly texts me stuff that I can't really figure out, like what he's getting at. But he did say something funny recently. He texted me, "Go voice." Do you remember that term, "go voice"?
Yeah.
It'd be like if you were chatting with somebody on like a bulletin board or something, it was just like, just go voice, just call me.
Right.
So he just randomly texted me like "go voice" like 3 weeks ago. Was he trying to tell me? I didn't do it though. I should have though. Now that
you should have.
I should have.
Now you think about it. You didn't crack the code.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was a pretty important era, I think, of our lives, I think. I think of
the world. It was pretty important for the world. Yeah. I mean, the way things all panned out, we were in the forefront of how things were going to be in the future.
True.
I mean, we experienced the internet before the internet was really the internet.
I honestly don't even think anybody else on our street had a computer as early as I did. Going to the point that I'm spoiled, but Dave Brown was the first guy I knew that had a Mac. I don't know if you remember that or not, that he had a Mac.
I'm sure he did.
I think he had the first one, like the Mac 128K, which is like pretty pitiful power, but it was a Mac. It was super awesome. It was super crazy cool. And that's probably why I went into urban planning, because I had a game on my sister's Mac called Sim City.
It still exists. My dog plays it all the time.
Your dog? Sim 4.
My dog does, yeah. Chewy. no, my daughter, Lainey.
She plays Sim City?
Sims 4. Yeah, I don't think they just call it Sims now. They don't call it Sim City. But
they don't have the zoning piece anymore. You're like building, like,
things, yeah, but it's not quite like click and whatever. It's not like it was. It's more advanced, believe it or not.
I had one of the Sims, like, where you played the people walking around and stuff, and they're building a house, and you have to feed them and all that stuff. But isn't there like sexually?
Oh yeah, it's terrible. I mean, they it's not graphic or anything, but they do stuff and they make babies and
you get in the hot tub and love or. They still
It's like little hearts. Yeah, little hearts go up or whatever. They don't show anything.
I thought things like a 13 plus game or something like that.
It's not as bad. I mean, there was a game, I don't know what it's called now, but that Lainey had and Nina. It was Nina that brought it up to Alyssa. She's like showing her this game on her phone, and it turns out like you could have threesomes on it and all that stuff. It's like, wait, no, you're getting rid of this game right now. I mean, they don't know what it is, but this is like crazy. But I mean, I don't really love the SimCity thing, that stuff either. But I mean, it's life. It's not nothing. It's not graphic.
But speaking of that, they already
know where these come from. It's not like it's a big surprise.
Fair enough. So, but yeah. Anyway, back. So I remember speaking of nudity and the and the Apple II. Actually, I didn't. No, we didn't say that, but there was one game that I had.
That's all you were thinking about.
Yeah. Well, there was one game that had nudity, which was a strip poker game.
Yes, remember that? I remember that.
But the game, it was like a girl laying down and she had clothes on, and if you like won a hand or whatever, like a piece would just come off. And I remember,
but it was an animated girl. It wasn't like a real.
And she didn't even move. She just right. It was like stationary. But I think maybe her head nodded or something stupid like that. But I mean, I remember my uncle was over and was like, "Wow, that's pretty cool." Like, well, you know. It's nothing compared to now stuff, but well, anyway, what you got going on the rest of the day?
Not much. It's a nice Sunday afternoon. I got to watch the rest of that game, see if the Leicester can beat Arsenal, which hopefully they do. They're up 1-0 right now. So I'm excited about that.
We're supposed to go on a hike, but Dean's going to probably throw a fit because he wants to play Xbox all afternoon. He's not even probably awake yet. It's noon. He doesn't think that the weekends are for, you know.
I wish my kids were better sleepers. They get up at like 6 a.m. every day. I mean, I don't.
Well, he goes to bed at like 1:00. He's 15.
Right. But, I mean,
so I might play some FIFA today on the. You got to get that.
I have it on my Switch, which isn't quite the same.
No, you got to get an Xbox. I'll have my mom buy you one.
Yeah, tell her I need one. It'll be here by tomorrow.
I'll just tell her I need another one, yeah. And but she's not alive. But right. But I could probably
you can probably send me one.
I could probably send you one.
Yeah,
but they're gonna come out with another. They're gonna come out with another one soon, though. That's a problem. I just got a used one. Did I tell you about that?
Right, you don't need to.
I have two.
I know you don't need to.
You can keep we have two. Right. No, but the one's Dean's and one's mine. Because, anyway, it's a long story. Because
the spoiling thing runs in families, right?
Well, it became a problem because we used to share and play like at the same time. But then in the last couple of years, being a 15-year-old, like it's better to play with your friends than to play with your dad. So he.
No, I get it. I was just teasing him.
I know, he just monopolizes it. But anyway, well, all right, man. Well, I hope people enjoyed that. It's funny. Real quick, I'm gonna see if they let me do it. But I found an Apple II computer Facebook page, and there's a big warning. Like, this is not about politics. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's only about Apple II. So if you don't put anything about Apple II, if you put something about something else, we're going to delete your message. So I'm going to be like, post this podcast entitled Apple II. Mm-hmm. Well, so hi, all you Apple Facebook users. Anyway.
Yeah. Wait, one quick thing I should say. I mean, I'm going to go look if I can find these pictures. But eventually I worked on the TV show The Goldbergs. And yeah. I think I sent you pictures. They have like an Apple IIe on the set. I mean, it doesn't work with the disk drive and everything there. And it's never turned on. I mean, I don't think it works. But they also had like the manuals or something like that, or DOS, Apple DOS books there next to it. Yeah. And so I did send you and Mike pictures of that stuff. So if I can find it, I'll put it on our Facebook page.
You know, I tried to watch the Goldbergs, but they were very lazy about timeline continuity. I would watch a show, and then they would have a song in the show that hadn't come out yet in the year that the episode was supposed to be. But anyway, that's
pretty picky. But
why?
It's a fun show. It's a fun show. I mean,
If it takes place in 1984 and there's like I don't know, name a song.
I don't have all the dates of when songs came out off the top of my head anyway, so I'm not really.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so we're going to try to get back on a regular weekly. I think we've been on like a week and a half now, so people have been bugging me about it. Like somebody texted me, when are you going to do another podcast? So here it is. All right, man. Sweet. Have a good one. Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Brought by Treetops.
combination with Scott Martinez in production.